Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
We are with the great Mike Giardi from the NFL Network. Time to whip around divisional weekend, my favorite weekend. I think most football fans' favorite weekend of football. Looks like we have four great games, three rematches from the season, and one fresh one to wrap up the weekend. And that could likely be the game of the weekend. Mike, let's kick it off with Jacksonville and Kansas City, a rematch from November 13th. Chiefs are, I think they opened at 9.5. They're about 8.5 now. That was a 10-point win. Neither team terribly impressive back then. Kansas City turned it on the end of the season. Jacksonville couldn't have played a worse first half, wild card weekend. But then the second half, you know, the Chargers charged and choked it away. And Jacksonville turned it on. And much respect to Doug Peterson's stones for the game that he called to get them back in and get that win. You think the Jags can keep this close?
I'd be a little worried if I was Kansas City, just in terms of the, you know, I don't like the long break. I know it helps from a health perspective, but I think they were in a really nice flow at the end of the year, with the exception of the Texans game. So yeah, maybe it takes them a little while to kind of heat up a little bit, and maybe, who knows, maybe the Jags, because they're coming off such a big win and a confidence building performance, that maybe the Jags get on them early and then we have a football game. But by and large, I mean, look, Jacksonville to me is ahead of schedule. And they got their playoff win. It's a great thing to go into the off season with. And now you can sell even more to free agents, or maybe you're a bigger destination than you've been in a long time. I just think Kansas City, there's just too much talent on that team on both sides of the ball. And at the end of the day, that's going to win out.
And if I can borrow from Andy Hart on the radio this week, he and Bradfo played this game on Monday. I thought it was a lot of fun. Trevor Lawrence went to Waffle House after the big playoff win. Andy, where does Mike Giardi go after a big playoff win?
Oh, into his basement and eats like a cucumber.
That's weird.
You don't eat fun stuff. That You're not was, like a fun eater guy.
I need a side podcast to unpack how weird that comment was.
It really was odd.
Just want to point out, by the way, I meant it as a literal cucumber. There was no like double entendre.
Sure.
Well, no, the game I threw out, I said, as New England people, you'd like your quarterback probably to go to the 99, get some boneless buffalo wings and one of those big mugs of beer. Like,
yeah,
that's your guy.
That works for me.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you're on board.
Yeah, you know, I like a good beer.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't sure if you liked the good buffalo
wings. I had, by the way, Fitzy, cheers to you. Last night I had, what was it? It was a stout you got me. Smaller one.
The smaller one from New England Brewing. That's a nice one.
Stout.
Bourbon barrel age one. That's good stuff. Good stuff.
Real quick, as a sideline reporter, or a reporter that works the sidelines at these stadiums, what did you think of young Trevor Lawrence, who threw three interceptions in his first playoff game last week in the first quarter, saying as he heads toward Kansas City, "Oh, I can't imagine it's louder than Jacksonville." What's that now?
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Dumbass.
Yeah.
Kansas City is the most formidable home field advantage, in my opinion, having seen them all. The black hole was scary, but the black hole is dead. Black hole, I thought you could actually get assaulted, so it was a little different.
Yes, that was a dangerous place.
in terms of sports, like above board fandom, I think Kansas City is the greatest home field advantage in football. Seattle's close, but I think it's Kansas City. And he just kind of gave them reason to go above and beyond even what they normally do.
You're insulting the Buffalo Mafia, the Bills Mafia.
I like it. Don't love them. They do their best work in the parking lot, not in the stadium.
Yeah, I disagree. I disagree. A lot of pre-snap penalties last week for the Dolphins.
Correct. That's why it was a four-hour game, Mike.
Yes. Oh, God, was it ever the longest game in history.
Oh, you had to work longer?
I did. Yeah, no, I agree. That place is nuts. And we'll see. I guarantee you, first series, there's a pre-snap penalty.
Yes. Just
go lock it down. They're going to be reminded of that by the Kansas City media and the players, and they'll be really, really loud.
And also to your point, I'd like to just add for the listening audience, Jacksonville's going nowhere anytime soon because, like you said, they're ahead of schedule. Now Trevor Lawrence is on track. He's only going to likely get better under Peterson. Oh, and by the way, they added Calvin Ridley for next to nothing for next year. So now you're going to get a Calvin Ridley looking for a big second contract to add to that offense. Yes, next year, you're going to want to put Trevor Lawrence on your fantasy team. Andy, let's go to Saturday night.
I was just going to say bet the over on the Jags next year.
Yeah. Oh, they won me some nice money over 7.5 this year. So I'll let that ride. Yeah. Oh, boy. You're an equal opportunity offender today. So I appreciate that about you.
Look at everybody.
Saturday night, we are going to get probably the closest thing to an AFC North battle in the NFC East. Three of those teams remain. Giants played, not only did they play the game of their lives last week with that disparity of talent between the two sides. Daniel Jones, game for the ages, so well coached. And they played the Eagles tough with their backups week 18 in a game the Eagles needed to have for the bye. I'm giving the Giants a puncher's chance Saturday night. How about you, Mike?
My Good Morning Football colleague, Peter Schrager, compared this Giants team to the 07 Giants. And I'll tell you what, it's a pretty good comp. Because when you look at, I know Patriot fans hate going down this road, but when you looked at that team, what did that team do in the finale, but then especially in the Super Bowl? They controlled you up front. Their defensive line was awesome. And it's Strahan and Umanyora and Tuck. They were awesome. Dexter Lawrence is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Williams is pretty good. Like, they're Kayvon Thibodeau is coming big time. Like, he's been the last 6 or 7 weeks, he's been one of the better young players in the game. Can they summon that again? I think that group is probably, as I look at it, the offensive line for Philly, that defensive line, that's a great matchup because I think those are the two best position groups in that game. Who gets the upper hand? I think if the Giants can manage to get the upper hand in that, we got ourselves a football game.
We think around here, because we look at things myopically, that the worst decision in football in terms of hiring a coach over the last recent memory was Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia. I would argue the Los Angeles Chargers not hiring Brian Daboll 2 years ago was the dumbest decision in football. Dumbest decision. Because if you had him coaching the Chargers and Justin Herbert, they may have already won a Super Bowl, but they would be in the Super Bowl conversation right now. Because he is, and I know I'm biased, I love him. I think he's dude, good coach, dude, experience, good. Like, everything is good about him. But that was a dumb decision. And what he has done with that Giants team, and I know it's turned into this, you know, make fun of Joe Judge thing, which I guess is worthy because he kind of took the same team and kind of is having success with them.
He's quarterback kryptonite, Andy.
Yeah.
Really?
It's fair. It is what it is, but it's not his fault because he shouldn't be anywhere near quarterbacks.
No.
Have you seen the new ad for FanDuel? Quick aside here. Rob Gronkowski's kicking a ball at Super Bowl or something for like $10 million. I don't know. But the commercial pumping that is the best commercial I've seen in a long time. Him and Adam Vinatieri doing a training montage based off of the Rocky theme.
I haven't seen it.
At one point, Gronk says, if you can catch a ball, you can kick a ball. Obviously stealing from the old, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball and dodgeball. And Adam Vinatieri goes, that's not a thing. And that's where I go with Joe Judge. Oh, you can coach kickers? Oh, so you should be able to coach throwers. I don't think that's how this works. That's not a thing. Except they made it a thing for him. So it's not his fault. But my concern here is I think the Giants and the Jags are nice little stories. Usually nice little stories die on this weekend in the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing to me. So the Giants, and I've been saying it even when they got off to the great start, and I continue to say it, they're not very talented.
Right.
They're not.
Except
they're
the defensive front, as you pointed out. Yeah. That's first-round picks. Yeah. Like
they're,
that.
And they're awesome. And right, and they got a couple first-rounders on the offensive line who have really, you know, Neal on one side and Thomas on the other, who are good
players.
But then
Barkley and Jones, I mean, if those two guys, like Daniel Jones rushed the ball, what, 17 times last week?
Yeah.
If you can get into a game where you say, we're going to play a trench game and Daniel Jones is going to carry it another 12 times and Barkley's going to carry it 20 times, maybe you got a puncher's chance there. I just, because the other aspect of this is, you know, my like universal theories of the playoffs. I'm not all in on the Eagles. Like, I feel like they're a year too soon. Like, they've exploded this year. AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, MVP. I feel like those teams often falter about this time, and then it's the next year where they learn who they really are and what they need to be. But I just think the Eagles are the more talented team.
Yeah, I think they are. I think, like, for you started to bring up some of the first round picks and the talent of the Giants, but like no wide receivers. Their secondary is meh. Their mm-hmm. linebackers are meh. Like mm-hmm. their offensive line on the interior is, they had to pay a couple guys who are just like journeyman type players to be in there. So I still think that they're probably at least one draft free agency cycle away from being someone that can be formidable, you know, year in and year out. Whereas Philly already has the pieces in place to do business as business needs to be done right now. So yeah, I think that has the potential to be a close game. It will be a close game, I think, because I just think Brian will somehow, they'll find a way to stay in it, but I think Philly is the better team.
Yeah, as long as they give us at least three entertaining quarters, nobody complains. And then we go to Sunday. Of course, everyone will be tuned in from 10A to 2:30P to WEEI Football Sunday with Fitzy and Hart, the Six Ring Bros. And we'll obviously,
Andy, which, Mike, what are you doing between approximately 10 a.m. and 2:30?
We've taken an hour of the man's life today. You're going to ask him to come back on again. Literally, you're going to have to start giving him some of your pay, guy.
I will be on the sidelines in Buffalo doing a 19-hour pregame show.
That would be the greatest hit for our show ever. Thank you.
Yeah, or you could just turn your iPhone on, just get some ambient auto and send it in. We'll play it. We'll get a break out of that at least.
Mike, ketchup all over your face.
All right, so it's BYO handle of Fireball Sunday, Mike. All right, so it is now Sunday. It's 1:00. We're at Highmark Stadium. Yet another emotional affair. We're getting the rematch between Cincinnati and Buffalo, except now because of the way the records turned out with the canceled game, Cincinnati has to visit the Bills Mafia on their home turf. It's going to be cold. It might snow. Cincinnati was in a dogfight last weekend. They were a Sam Hubbard turnaround away from losing themselves. But I don't like the way Buffalo's defense is playing. And I think this is the one I think might be an upset. How say you?
So I was leaning upset, but now I'm having a hard time getting over what Cincinnati's got going on the offensive line. Left tackle, Jonah Williams dislocates the knee. Doesn't look like he's going to play this week. Alex Kappa, who was one of their really nice free agent signings, doesn't look like he's playing this week. You already lost Lael Collins against the Patriots, right? So 3/5 of your starting offensive line is out. Jackson Carman, who was a second-round pick for them, was playing left tackle when Williams went out. Jackson Carman was so bad that they had to go spend money on Kappa, and then they inserted another rookie, Volson, at left guard because they just were like, we just might have missed on this pick. But now he's your left tackle, and he's your left tackle in a divisional round playoff game in Buffalo. So that is concerning for me if I'm Joe mm-hmm. Burrow. Like, this could be a this could be sort of a throwback to maybe the Titans game last year in the postseason where Burrow got sacked 9 times, but kept getting up and somehow managed to pull that one off. I worry about how they're going to protect him in this game. And if maybe two part of that eliminates their ability to push the ball down the field, which we know they're really good at. And those guys, certainly Higgins and Chase and Boyd, all can catch it underneath and turn yards after catch, but they do have the ability to go down the field if they can protect. And I'm curious if they'll be able to do that. I know there's no Von Miller on the other side, but the Bills did a really nice job getting after Skylar Thompson. I think everybody had pressures. I think Milano had 6 pass rushes in the game, 2 sacks, 3 pressures. Like, they were able to get there. And that was against a fairly well together offensive line, at least kind of what they started the year with. And now you're facing a team that's going to back up. So, yeah, I was totally thinking that before the game that Cincinnati played against Baltimore. And then when I saw Williams went down and I realized the cap is probably not playing again this week, then I was like, man, that's a lot. That's a lot to overcome. I mean, if anybody could do it, it's Spurrow, right? But I feel like maybe the football gods are smiling on Buffalo this Sunday.
Even though this is a podcast and could be listened to at any point in the next few days, I'm going to pretend this is live and breaking news sounder. A couple notes. We talked about the Patriots offensive coordinator situation earlier. Ooh. A couple notes in the offensive coordinator world. Byron Leftwich has officially been fired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which means Billy O'Brien could have an opportunity to go there where he's dabbled in the past. And more closely to home here, according to Josina Anderson, Cardinals associate head coach Sean Jefferson, former NFL wide receiver, will be interviewing for your New England Patriots offensive coordinator job on Friday. So that's a second ex-Belichick. I think he's an ex-Belichick wide receiver.
Did Sean Jefferson make it to? I mean, he was defensive coordinator when he played with Bledsoe under Parcells, but did he make it to? Did he cross the 2000 threshold? I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
Damn it. Close enough. Anyway, ex-wide receivers are all the rage in Gillette Stadium offensive coordinator interviews. So
I like it.
Another notable name to add to the mix. Back to the Buffalo-Cincinnati game. I am excited about this game simply because it's my two favorite quarterbacks in the National Football League to watch play. And I have and there's some other issues, but if you can get into a shootout with them, that will be my game of the postseason. I would love to just watch those guys go back and forth all afternoon. Playmakers, Diggs, Chase, like just fun football. And the way the Bills defense is playing, I do think there's an opportunity for that to happen because they have not been very good. And then the way the Bills offense has been playing, which suddenly they've decided drop back and chuck the ball down the field often is their best route, which I don't necessarily agree with them that that's their best route, but could be fun for fans to watch.
Not a lot of apologies from the Bills about how they played the game on Sunday. You know, some acknowledgement that maybe on a couple of those drives, they should have been looking for some more underneath stuff. But by and large, in talking to the guys yesterday, it was more about like, that's how we play. We're trying to score points. Uh-oh. We're always trying to score points. So we're not going to play scared.
Remember when the Falcons said that's how we play?
Yeah.
Remember when the Chargers showed us that's how they play?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So yeah,
how'd that work out?
I don't think the gunslinger mentality is going to leave them this weekend. I will say they should probably look at the tape of the early season when Josh was super efficient on the low end stuff, you know, the little in the flat and over the middle. Like you can make your living doing that, and then you get people to creep up, and then you can show us that unbelievable arm and throw the ball 65 yards down the field and hit somebody on the run.
Yeah. And you're not going to have Skylar Thompson going 18 for 45 with Joe Burrow, even with a patchwork offensive line and, you know, head scratching interceptions like the one they threw from the end zone in the second half that kind of got Buffalo back into the game when Miami briefly took a lead. Mike, you've been incredibly generous with your time. So we'll just have a quick peek at the final game of the weekend. The Purdy one and the Niners host the Dak attack coming in with a lot of confidence. That's the best game Dakota Prescott maybe has played in the NFL, period. The Niners defense got showed up in the first half last week, and they've got a lot of rest on their side. Yet I still think this could be the game of the weekend. So how say you?
So look, you definitely have to love the way Dallas played, and certainly I think we've all felt like they're capable of that. But I just have seen this act from them too many times where you think they've turned the corner and then they go lay a big egg. I think San Francisco is going to stomp them. I really do.
Now, but San Francisco hasn't played great talent. And then Tampa wasn't exactly a great team last Monday night. They were awful.
Well, that quarterback might be washed.
Hour number two here on the Six Rings Pod. We delve into Giardi ripping Tom Brady.
Mike Brady. Awesome. All right. So yeah, without going on the record, I see you and I feel in that one, Mike. All right. Anyone have any final thoughts before we wrap this Robert Altman presents the Six Rings and Football Things podcast?
No, I'm just looking forward to a good weekend of football. The cliche.
Same here. Same here.
These are fun games, and it was really disappointing. Last weekend was a great weekend until we got to a washed-up quarterback on Monday Night Football because I was – and it was almost predictable. When you have all those good games, you're like, oh, the one we think is really going to be good isn't. So I just hope there's none of those. I hope that my thought that the Giants and the Jags could kind of turn back into pumpkins. I hope that doesn't happen because, as Fitzy said, this can be a really fun weekend of football.
Potentially. Oh, it's the best.
And Purdy, who's not rooting for Purdy? Like, he's the Zappy. You don't like Purdy? Well, what? What?
Just think about who he stepped in for.
Oh,
this should be Jimmy's time.
Don't come at the family, Andy. Come on, you should know better. Never come at the family.
Well, maybe if Jimmy could stay healthy for once in his career. Yeah,
All right. Listen, before this turns into Bo and Luke Duke fighting on the podcast, I'm going to end this episode of the Pods of Hazard. It sounds like people are thinking maybe we'll get that neutral site AFC championship, perhaps. And listen, if it's 49ers at Eagles, we'll be treated to a brawl and by Broad Street, which would be a freaking blast. All right. You can follow him at Mike Giardi. Mike, you'll be in Buffalo this weekend. You're home away from home.
Yeah, I'll be in Buffalo starting Thursday night.
When can people meet you at the Anchor Bar for a meet and greet?
They can meet me in the parking lot at the stadium, which is where we've been hanging out basically for the last 2 weeks.
Have they embraced you? Bills Mafia, have they embraced you?
Oh, my God, they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So when do I see you either go through a table or get squirted?
If I went through a table, I would not get up. I think we all realize that at my age that things would break and that would be
the end. Come on, you're not that old.
I'm pretty old. Everything hurts at all times. Yeah. So yeah, that wouldn't be good. But they're unbelievable. The first week we were there after the Hamlin's thing happened, every day people brought us coffee and donuts. Somebody brought us brunch, like just every day. People were coming, like we were legitimately getting too many, like, oh, thank you. We have 4 boxes of coffee now, but like just incredibly generous and kind. Yeah. Pretty
cool.
Pretty unique group. I'll tell you that for sure.
Oh yeah. I've always said that tailgating is like the last great American neighborhood. And even though Buffalo is one of the rowdiest ones for sure, they're a hell of a group. And as we've seen, the power of coming together, united by football. Sometimes when we dabble in social media, Mike, we see people at their worst, but also what's gone on up there has brought people and especially football fans at their best out. So hopefully let's ride that wave to a great weekend of football. We'll catch up with you soon. Follow him at Mike Giardi. He'll be in Buffalo this weekend on the NFL Network. Andy and I will be with you Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. leading right up to WEEI's coverage of the football games on divisional round weekend. Enjoy the best weekend of football, everybody. And thank you for tuning in to the latest edition of Six Rings and Football Things, a full power hour of Patriots coordinator, head coaching, and divisional round breakdown. Give us a follow at Six Rings Pod and tell your friends to subscribe, Spotify, Apple Pods, and so much more. For Jumbo, for the great Mike Giardi, for producer Justin Turpin, and your old pal Fitzy, Six Rings is out. Good day. God bless. And as always, go Pats.